Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
To this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is actually your half-hour inspirational programming. It's a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which airs every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. For tonight, we're going to be on the air for 30 minutes. Tonight's topic is a continuation of last night's topic, which is Who Am I? It's Who Am I? So we invite the presence of the Lord in. Father, we thank you for your blessings of this day. Thank you for the situations of the day. And we pray that you would be with us as we go through this programming tonight. To you and other blessings, we thank you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, so who am I? Last night we had a very powerful show. It was very good, very interesting. We had good dialogue from the my co-hosts and other callers that called in. And I was very impressed with the way things went last evening, to the point that we may do a continuation even next week into Who Am I? We didn't get a chance to go through with the comment that came into the studio, but we will, if we decide to do it next week, we will continue with that. All right, so tonight is also a continuation, but it's from the spiritual perspective. I'm going to read a story to you momentarily, and tonight we're looking at it from a spiritual perspective. My opinion is that though we're human, we are spiritual beings, I believe, first and foremost, but we're having a human experience. Right now we're facing some real challenging times that perhaps we're not even aware of, these types of times that we're living in. But, you know, I want to reach out to everyone and encourage you to have hope and have that faith that no matter what we're facing out here, that God is still in control of everything. You know, there are times when we feel that perhaps we're doing our part, you know, and I think about sometimes the people who feel that they have been out there and they've done everything, and I may be talking to one of you all out there as well. I mean, I've certainly gone through that in my life, that you feel that, God, I did everything that I could to maybe save this marriage. God, I did everything that I could to give my best to my child or my children, to teach them the right way. God, I did everything that I could on my job, and I did everything that I could in terms of doing my part, in terms of my health or praying for someone else out there. And things didn't necessarily go the way that you had hoped or prayed that they went. And so that becomes a challenge for you. And you're reaching deep down inside and you're trying to say, well, God, I did my part, but it seems that you failed me. You didn't do your part. Who am I, God? And I've always termed myself as, whose am I? I am your child. And you may be feeling that way. You may have experienced that. You may be experiencing that now. And it's like, God, you know, why? You want to know why? And then, you know, you feel reluctant or so respectful to even want to ask God why, because you're also sort of taught not to question him. Some things you just, you know, imagine as a child. You're of age to understand. You have some reasoning. Of course, we can never understand how God operates, but his thoughts are so far away from our thoughts, and our plans are perhaps sometimes his jokes. But you're a child with a parent. You're let's say you're a 13-year-old. So you have some ability to reason and understand, a great deal of ability to reason and understand. And you ask your parents, you say, well, look, Mom, I'd like to be able to get this bicycle. And your mother or your father, or if the father's at home or if the mother's at home, and you think you've been a pretty good child. You know, you're not perfect, but you've done okay. You didn't give your mom, you know, you didn't back talk to them. And, you know, you may have mumbled when they asked you to do something, the chores around the house. But you nevertheless, you find yourself doing them because you know to honor that father and that mother. Well, your parents, or let's say that it's a single family home, which is the norm for today, it appears. And your mom says, well, you know, Marcus, you're a very good son. You're a very good child. I am very proud of you. And I know you've been asking about getting this bicycle that you want. And son, it's pretty tough for me right now, but it's not tough for God. It's God is the creator, you know, but he's also our parent. And so that mother, where she may have some financial restraints, God doesn't have those. And so you begin to look at it like, God, you know, you don't have that. You can do whatever you want to do. Everything belongs to you. But with your parents, there's limitations. But nevertheless, you get on there and you're saying, all right, God, to the mother, you're saying, Mom, Marcus says to the mom, Mom, I've done everything you wanted me to do. I've done these chores, you know, faithfully all the time. Okay, Mom, I haven't been perfect. You know, I've gotten in trouble in school a few times. But, Mom, it wasn't always my fault. You know, I was provoked into doing some things. I'm only human. I did certain things. But nevertheless, it's not where you committed such an unpardonable sin that, you know, the mother wouldn't forgive you for it and still love you. Well, you go on and the mother said, well, I tell you what, son, I'm going to be working some extra overtime in the next few weeks. And I tell you what, you continue to do good, do your best in school, study, do your best in school, and I will reward you with that bicycle because I'm going to grant you the desires of your heart. You've been asking me about that bicycle for so long. I'm going to get you that bicycle. And the kid becomes excited because he's like, well, you know, now he has some motivation, some inspiration to continue to go on and do even better than he's done before because there's some hope. That mother has just given that child some hope. And then, you know, we turn this to the spiritual component of what some of you all may be experiencing out there, and you're saying, God, I'm not perfect, but there's no perfect person on this planet. No perfect person on the planet. And so I'm going through this, and yet others are excelling. They're excelling, and it seems like you're not even listening to me, God. You know, and you begin to wonder, who am I? Who am I, God? Who am I to you? And that's what you want to kind of find out, because it's like the things that you desired that he gave you instructions to do, you feel that you're doing that, and your desires of your heart are still not coming. Well, I'm here to give you some hope, just like the mother gave that child hope. You know, and the mother, unlike the mother, she may not have been in the financial position at the time, but she gave him some hope that down the road, you know, if he continued on that path, he was gonna receive it. And, you know, I believe it. I believe with all my heart that even if that boy slipped up and messed up sometime, because of the fact that that mother told her son, I am going to reward you with this, son. You know, she set a condition, if you continue. But I believe even if the boy didn't do any, if he went out there and he messed up, but he wasn't extreme in his mess ups, that mother was still going to get that bicycle for him. And sure enough, in fact, this story is inspired by a true story. That mother did get that bicycle for that young man. She got that bicycle for that young man. She got it for him. And as a matter of fact, he was so filled with rejoicing that he really, really, like, appreciated what his mother had done. And as a result, it's like, you know, this is really, really, this is really good. This is really good. And so it made him, it gave him that hope to keep striving. And I'm here to tell you all, you know, no matter what the situation is, no matter how much you're striving, you continue to do the right thing. And I believe that God will reward you for that. It's a test, and we know that the enemy is out there, and he doesn't want you to rely on God. As a matter of fact, he wants you to be disappointed. He wants you to be disappointed with saying that God is not thinking about you. He wants you to think that God doesn't even exist. He wants you to feel like God has given up on you. But no matter what your situation is, don't you ever doubt that God can't come through with what he wants. If it didn't come now, it could be that God says yes, no, or wait. Okay, I don't think he's a maybe God. He's not maybe. It's either yes, no, or wait. You know, and it comes along to teach us even patience. Where you say, well, I've been patient forever. Well, our time is not God's time. But we have to know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So if you would like to comment, you can press 1. If you've had an experience where things didn't work out the way that you wanted them to work out, you can certainly press 1 and tell us about that. In the meantime, I'm going to go to tonight's story, and I hope you will be blessed by this story. I really do. And the purpose of this story is to give each one of us an opportunity, hopefully and prayerfully, to look in the mirror and reflect. That's what the purpose of the story is, to look in the mirror and reflect. This story is about Victoria and Wilberto. They have been friends since elementary school. They're both now in their mid-20s and find their platonic friendship is tapering off. The reason for their change is because Wilberto's girlfriend does not particularly care for Victoria because she feels that Victoria acts as if she's all that. There is no dispute that Victoria is beautiful, she's intelligent, witty, proud, and, yes, she's arrogant. Now, this topic is about who am I? And this is based on what science and psychology tells us. There are 3 ways in which we're viewed: how other people see us, how we see ourselves, and who we really may be. And with the spiritual flavor in tonight's topic, we're talking about maybe how God sees us, you know, versus who we really are. And God sees us knowing who we are. And God is another, you know, he's a spirit that sees us as ourselves. See, we may be able to camouflage with other people, but with God, we can't camouflage. He knows our heart. He created us. So how other people see us, how God sees us from who we really are. You know, which means we don't always see ourselves as we are. Now, here with Victoria, you're learning that she's beautiful, intelligent, witty, proud, yet she's arrogant. Now, of course, Wilberto, which is her friend, defends Victoria to great extreme. And this, of course, does not rest well with his girlfriend. Now, some of the issues that Wilberto's girlfriend has shared with him about Victoria include things that Wilberto actually has told Victoria about herself from his perspective over the past several years. Now, remember, they've been friends since elementary school. And Wilberto has told Victoria some of these things about herself that obviously she does not care to listen to, or does not see it. Victoria, for whatever reason, does not agree with Roberto and insists that she is a great person with a pleasant personality. I don't think there's anything wrong with us feeling good about ourselves, but I question to the extreme that it can be obnoxious, that it can cause other people to feel uncomfortable. Now, here are some of the issues about Victoria that she can't seem to see within herself. Now, again, we're talking about who am I? Here are some of the issues that Roberto cannot seem to see within herself. Number one, she carries herself as if she's better than anyone else. That is not good. Number two, she talks down to people. Number three, she feels her beauty is a gift and others are not so fortunate. Number four, she does not care about other people's views or opinions about her character. She just simply doesn't care. She's thick-skinned. Number five, she is not well-received or liked by other females in particular, right? Okay. Number six, when guys get to know her a little bit, they distance themselves from her because of her arrogance. Number seven, family and friends have tried over the years to tell her how they see her, but she insists she doesn't care because she feels other people are either jealous or losers. Number eight, Victoria acts as though she does not need anyone in life. This is how she acts. Number nine, she feels because of her beauty, she will have opportunities afforded her that others will not have. Number 10, she gloats and knowing that men strain their necks to look at her even when they are with their significant other. Now, recently, she got into a very serious altercation with Roberto's girlfriend in the presence of Roberto. That means he was there, which the girlfriend told her about herself, and the girlfriend threatened Roberto that if he did not cut friendship ties with Victoria, she would cut ties with him as his girlfriend. Roberto appears to be Victoria's only true friend. And here's the question amongst a series of questions. How should Roberto deal with the threat from his girlfriend to cut ties with him? Number two, could Victoria really be all that? And people are either jealous or losers, as she says. Number three, do you know someone who carries themselves like Victoria? If so, how do you cope with them? Is Victoria really arrogant? Number four, is Victoria really arrogant because she does not care about other people's views or opinions about her? Number five, why can't Victoria see herself as she is? Now, all of these are very important questions. All of these are very important questions. And let's just begin with taking a look at maybe one of them, the first one. How should Roberto deal with the threat from his girlfriend to cut ties with him? Well, you know, if you've got a thought out there on this, you're welcome to certainly press 1 to check it out. But this is some of the things that we discussed last night, and tonight I'm giving a spiritual perspective. One of the things that the Bible shares with us is about God does not care for a proud heart or arrogant person. You know, God likes us to be humbled with respect and treating people as equals and not feeling like you're better than someone else. In fact, if you look in the Bible and you read some of the stories, you'll find that there were individuals who carried themselves this way and they had a tremendous fall. Well, tonight we're talking from a spiritual perspective. Who am I? Who am I? And I just want to ask each one of us, as under the sound of my voice, to take a look in that mirror, to identify with who am I over the years. What's more important, to satisfy man or to satisfy or to please God or to satisfy God? And I certainly encourage you that it's more important to please God. And as we go back to the reflection on the boy with Marcus about the story that he wanted that bicycle, I say to you that you keep on being like Marcus, doing the right thing, doing the best that you can do with what you have, and God will not fail you. Even though you may not, the desires of your heart may not come when you want to, He still got you. He could have seen that. Let's just say if Marcus didn't get that bicycle, God could have seen where if he had gotten that bicycle, there's a good likelihood that it could have caused an injury for Marcus at some point. It could have caused death. But God knows that the mother loves Marcus so much that that would devastate her if something happened to her kid. I remember a young man that when I was in the classroom as an educator, this was around Christmas time, after the Christmas break. Well, what happened was when we returned back from the winter recess, which is the Christmas break of 2 weeks, this young man, as I called attendance, I noticed that there was one student that had not been there for not 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or the fourth week. And I began to ask the students. I say, well, does anyone know if this young man withdrew, you know, and let's call him Roberto. Let's call him Roberto. And does anybody know if Roberto withdrew? And the students begin to say, well, I think he had some type of accident. He had some type of accident. And I say, is he okay? And they will say, yeah, but, you know, we've been hearing that, that he had an accident. Well, they didn't know the particulars of it, but they had been hearing this because they hadn't seen Roberto even in the neighborhood. So into the fifth week, the student returned to school, and he was on crutches. And Roberto had lost one of his legs. And, of course, as an educator, we're reluctant to ask because we don't want to violate anything what happened to him. But the mother, she actually came to me and told me why he had been absent because he had been in the hospital for so long. And she shared with me a bitter story, and that was that her and Roberto's father had been divorced for years, and she begged and pleaded with the father not to buy him this, I think they call him a moped. It's a very small, looks like a motorcycle, moped. It's, I guess, a cross between a motorcycle and a bicycle, but they call it a moped. They, if I'm not mistaken, they were, I think some laws in some states didn't even allow them. But he had this moped. It's a very tiny motorcycle that has power, some type of either electrical power or gas power. Well, anyway, she shared with me, she said she had pleaded with him, with that father, even though they were divorced. She pleaded with him not to buy that for her son because as that mother, she envisioned that something could happen to her child, you know, on this moped because they were quite dangerous. A number of kids had received multiple accidents as a result of having these mopeds. But, you know, as children, you know, they don't always see the danger in things. They just see the excitement of it. And so the father, I guess, being rebelling against the mother and saying, well, look, when he's with me, I can do what I want with the child. And when he's with you, so you don't dictate to me. So the mother lost that case because the father went out and bought it. And as a result, on Christmas Day, that child ran into a truck, an 18-wheeler, and he was hit. And, you know, gratefully, he didn't lose his life, but he lost a leg. And that mother was devastated. The entire family was devastated. And the father later, he apologized to the mom because she's had the vision that this could happen, and the father didn't. And so I'm saying the same thing to you all tonight to say there comes a time when we don't understand, but just like that mother, God knows all. He knows all, and he sees all. It could be that God put in that mother's spirit, but she tried her best. But because of the mother, the child's life was spared, despite the father with his rebellions or reliance or defiance, I should say, because he was mad at the mom. He went ahead and did this thing. And so I want to encourage you all tonight. I want to encourage you as we're approaching the closing time. We have about 4 minutes left. I want to encourage you that with even this story tonight, I want you to examine yourselves and look in the mirror, all of us, me first, and say, who am I? Who am I? Am I a true child of God? Do I believe with uncertainty? Do I believe with doubt? You know, that he is the Father, that he knows what's best for me as his child. Who am I? And I believe that when you can reach a resolve to conclude that you are God's child, you are God's child. And God can care for you much more than your own parents, than anybody out there. He knows what's best for you. Because every breath you take, every breath that you take, when you inhale and exhale, when you inhale and exhale, it's the system that keeps us alive because it's the breath of God that lives and dwells within us. You see, Adam did not become a living being until he was formed. God had already formed him, but he did not become a living being. God was not living inside of Adam at the time because Adam was just a corpse. But it wasn't until God breathed into Adam's nostrils that Adam became a living being. So I say to every one of you all out there, if you ever doubt, because you are breathing, you're breathing God's oxygen, you're breathing God's air, you're breathing God's spirit. He lives within inside you. Every breath, take a deep breath. That's God. The air, we need oxygen to survive. Our cells need it. And that's what has you going every single day, even when you're sleeping. It's the breath of life. And that's what God has given us. You know, and so as we look at this story and we ask ourselves, who am I? You know, yes, one day we can hope that Victoria will come to terms with her own identity and realize that who she is, who she really is. Her beauty can ultimately become vain and vexation of her spirit, as Solomon talked about. But she needs to know that can fade away. But if people are distancing themselves from her, then perhaps she needs to take stock of that and take a look. Now, how should Roberto deal with the threat of his girlfriend to cut ties with him? And as I said on last night's show, I had two therapists on there as well as myself. And it depends on the depth of that relationship. You know, no one likes to be given an ultimatum, especially when it seems like it could be real harsh. But, a therapist last night was talking about how maybe there are things about Victoria that Roberto recognized that he's her only true friend, that she needs him in her life. But then if it's going to infringe on, in my opinion, if it's going to infringe on that relationship that she's having, that he's having with his girlfriend, and that relationship has potential to go to another level, then just my humble opinion, then he may want to give great consideration to that. And then could Victoria really be all that and people are either jealous or losers? Well, if she views him that way, that's a problem she has. But if, you know, if people are jealous of her, then you know what? Jealousy is not a good thing, to envy somebody for what they have. The Bible tells us against that in the Ten Commandments. And you know what? I don't think any of us are losers out there. I know that we're not, because we're all, who am I? We're all children of God. Number three, do you know someone who carries themselves like Victoria? I know a number of people, you know, and all you can do sometimes is pray for them and encourage them, you know, because something will come along to humble them. Number four, is Victoria really arrogant because she does not care about other people's views or opinions about her? I think there's some times when none of us really care about what other people may think about us. But as long as we're trying to do the right thing and we're not belittling people, bullying people, or putting them down to elevate ourselves, you know, you may question that yourself. Do I really worry about people going to talk about you all the time? You know, and if as long as you're not doing anything to cause that by hurting other people, you know what? The opinions and views may not matter. Number five, why can't Victoria and finally see herself as she is? That's the question that I leave all of us with tonight. It's very difficult for any of us, that's right, to see ourselves as who we really are. And I want to just leave this with you all tonight because we're out of time now. Take a look in that mirror and ask yourself, who am I? And what is my purpose? Who am I to please? And I believe that if we answer that question by saying it's more important to please God than man, I think we'll be all right. Listen, I hope this program has been a blessing to you as much as it has been for me. We're clearly out of time. Join us back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Of course, if you choose to bypass next Thursday, join us back here live next Friday for your half-hour inspirational programming. Until next Thursday or until next Friday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.